It is going to be good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. I have so enjoyed my time in James and spending time preparing, outlining, and seeking God's will in this study. And I have realized one thing. I don't know if you guys have realized this yet or not, but James stings. It stings. And I kind of welcome that pain because it definitely sharpens us. Let's look tonight, James chapter 2, verse 14 through 26, if you're able. And I understand if you're not, but if you are, stand in honor of God's reading of God's Word and His Word. James chapter 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things that are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. And someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith with my works. Amen. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Yep. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Verse 24. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Lord God, I ask that you guide my words. Lord, that you help me collect my thoughts and my preparation, God, and present it in such a way that it is received. God, I ask that you bind the enemy so that he may not snatch any seed that is planted tonight, Lord, that the ground that the seed is planted is fertile ground. And good ground. God, I believe you for these things. Holy Spirit, guide me. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So in our introduction tonight, we spent some time introducing James to you. The reasoning behind why James wrote this letter. And dig into that just a little bit. Of course, we know that James is the half-brother of Jesus, and he is a pillar in the earlier Jerusalem church. He writes to believers that were scattered and persecuted and tempted to settle for versions of faith that were all talk and no walk. So why was this a problem then, and why is it a problem now? James writes this book because he knew that faith without works was a real problem. In such hardship, imagine wondering if you're going to be beheaded or maybe even worse. beaten and to the point that you wish you were dead for your faith. In such hardship, it's going to be easy to talk about faith without showing it through love and compassion and obedience. So James goes around and he echoes Jesus' teaching here, and he draws heavily from the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus says, "By their fruits you will know them." And he warned against those that call him Lord, but do not do the will of the Father. James, the half-brother of Jesus, he likely saw firsthand how Jesus lived out his faith. He saw it. He watched Jesus, though he didn't accept him until he appeared to him after the resurrection. But he still seen Jesus do exactly what he said he was going to do and live out his faith both in works and deeds. And words and deeds. A little background on faith and obedience and how this works together. Jewish thinking on faith and obedience were never separated. Faith and obedience worked hand in hand. That's the Hebrew concept of belief, like we see in Genesis chapter 15, where Abraham believed God up to the point of laying his son down and raising the knife. The Hebrew concept of belief is that they were expected to obedient action. James was combating a misunderstood view of Paul's teachings as well. Some early Christians misunderstood. Is not contradicting Paul, he is clarifying Paul. Paul taught that we're justified before God by faith, while James emphasizes that we're justified before others by our works. Our faith, the proof is in the pudding. And the proof in the pudding is how we react and how we treat others, right? So, Paul tells us in his writings how to be right with God. And then James comes alongside and says, this is how you live right before God, and also how you live rightly as a Christian. How you raise the bar and set the standard. Also, James was concerned about hypocrisy in the church. James talked about being double-minded. He talked about favoritism. He talked about uncontrolled speech, not taming the tongue. For James, these problems stem from faith that lives here, but not here. In the mouth, but not in the heart. He calls for a faith that transforms how people live, how people speak, how people treat others, and how people walk through hardship and endure. His words are bold and clear. Real faith produces real fruit. And this passage is not just about earning salvation. It's not that. It's about evidencing salvation. Again, the proof is in the pudding. So let's actually get into my message. That was just my introduction. So let me get into the message. Verse 14 through 17, chapter 2. Let me read that through that again. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, that is the Baptist equivalent of saying, bless your heart. But you do not give them the things which are needed for their body, what does it profit? So James gives us a sobering scenario here. Someone claims to have faith, but offers no tangible evidence. He illustrates a needy brother or a needy sister hungry in the cold, while the believer sends them away with warm wishes, but no help. Empty faith is like empty words. It don't help anybody. Just imagine seeing somebody stuck in a ditch. And you drive by, and you see it's a little elderly lady, and you just drive by. And you think to yourself, well, I believe in helping people. And you roll down your window, and you yell at her, hope you get out soon. See you later. Boom. That's not belief. That's neglect wrapped in religious language. And that's what James is trying to tell us when we offer words instead of true action and action behind those words. We're in this scenario. We drive by that little lady. True faith gives a hand, not just a hallelujah. First discussion question tonight. How do we sometimes substitute kind words for real help? Anybody? How sometimes do we substitute kind words for real help? Happens way too often. I think one of the most insidious ones is, I'll pray for you.
That's right.
Right? That marks the checkbox there, doesn't it? As Susan said, if you need anything, let me know. Anyone else? Say it one more time, Miss Meredith. I'm deaf.
I know how you feel.
Oh, I know how you feel.
Instead of.
Yeah, just saying.
Yeah, just being there.
Right. Saying, I know how you feel.
I know somebody that can help you with that. Let me see if I can get a hold of them.
Yeah. So what's one way that we can avoid and move from saying to doing?
Pray with them at the time.
Pray with them at the time. Stop what you're doing. Right in that moment and do it. Very good. What else? Yeah, take initiative, right? Take initiative. Anyone else? What is some way we can move from saying to doing this week?
Susan said, call me if you need anything. Instead of saying, call me, say, what do you need? What can I do to help you?
Right.
And do it.
Absolutely.
See what's going on in the world around us, and we are not able to help other people because we can't get out of what's going on in our own agenda.
I understand.
God has a call on us. If we're not still enough to be able to hear what it is, then
absolutely,
it's impossible to help.
Anyone else? Let's move to our next point. Belief without behavior is actually demonic. Let's look at verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith with my works. And you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. So what James is doing here is he's tightening this argument about the proof being in the pudding, and saying even demons have correct theology. They believe in God, they just don't obey Him. Get that? The demons that believe in God, they just don't obey Him. So intellectual agreement with what we should do and what we know is not enough. Faith has to lead to transformation. Right belief without right behavior is no better than demonic faith. Knowing what you should do and not doing it is no better than demonic faith. Not obeying is no better than the demons themselves. A chair may look sturdy. This may look good and sturdy, but I don't actually believe it's sturdy until I sit in it. Until I actually do what my faith says about it. Right? Demons believe in God's power, but they don't sit in obedience to it. Do we? So what's the difference between belief and trust? What's the difference between belief and trust? Action. Action. There is an action. I can believe this is sturdy, but until I actually sit in it, I can't trust that it is. Right? And that's how our faith works. It should work. Belief coupled with action and obedience, right?
That's one reason I like the King James Version, is because I've got marked in mine so many times where he says, believe on. And a lot of the other scripture says, believe in, because right there it shows that devils believe in and tremble. You can believe in something, but until you believe on it, it's a different story.
There's an action associated with that. Thank you, Randy. Anyone else? How can we begin to evaluate whether our actions match our beliefs? How can we begin to evaluate whether our actions match our beliefs? Say that with the microphone.
Get in the Word and find out if our beliefs truly are scriptural.
Right.
Yes, and if they're not, do something about it. Yes.
So gauge, set the bar with the Word of God.
Yes.
Absolutely.
This is the standard. If it doesn't go with this.
Absolutely. Anyone else? How can we evaluate whether our actions match what we believe? One way is a bit of self-reflection, right? Look back. Okay, how did I interact today? Did it honor God? Did I offer platitudes? Or do I know to do something that I didn't do? Or I ignored to do? Did I withhold? Did I uphold what is true and what is good and what is righteous? Or did I not? Right?
Evaluate your actions. Is it what Jesus would have done?
Absolutely. If it's not something Jesus would have done, we probably shouldn't have done it, right? Pretty simple. But that gets hard, though. It gets hard. Obedience shows that our faith is alive. Look at verse 21. Was it not Abraham, our father, justified by works as he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And that word perfect, if we look at it in the Greek, it's actually the word mature. So he's saying here, do you see that faith was working together with his works and by works and faith, and it was made mature? Your faith made mature by works? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Abraham's faith was proven when he obeyed God. Even, we talked about this a few weeks ago, when we were talking, going through the sacrificial system leading up to the story of the crucifixion and the beautiful truth of the resurrection. Abraham's faith was proven when he obeyed God, when it was painful. His willingness to sacrifice Isaac on that altar showed that he trusted God in everything. Rahab, she risked everything to align herself with God's people. And her action protecting those spies proved her belief in the true God and landed her a spot in the lineage of Jesus himself. Amen. What I learned from Abraham and what I learned from Rahab is that faith acts even when it's risky, when it's inconvenient, and when it's costly. Verse 26 calls us to say that for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So faith without works is a corpse. It's a dead corpse. It's lifeless. And it's cold. It's like a flashlight without batteries. It may look useful, but it's useless in the dark. You're not going to shine a light on anything. You don't know if it works until it's tested. And trials and obedience reveal the batteries of our faith. When you're going through a tough time, when you're going through a spot, how you react to the trial, how you react to the test, your obedience, living out your faith, is the batteries that show the proof in the pudding. Oh, I'm going to skip to my second discussion question tonight. How does Abraham and Rahab's stories challenge the idea that our faith is passive? When you read Abraham's story and you read Rahab's story, how does that challenge the idea that faith is passive and not active? In other words, when you read their story, how does that challenge the idea that you can't have works without faith or faith without works. How does their stories challenge that? Sometimes the way that we live like we can have faith and not have the works coupled with it, or we challenge that.
With Rahab, her story to me is amazing because she never got taught anything. Rahab, she had no Christian upbringing.
Right.
I mean, she just had heard of God, and yet her faith, she went on just a little bit of hearing about God and decided to be faithful, to do what she could to help his children, those children of Israel, to accomplish what God wanted them to accomplish.
Much like Abraham when he got called out, and he had no idea where he was going to go or where he was going to take his family. He just followed the direction of God. He didn't ask any questions. He just went. Same way with the sacrifice. He said, God's going to prepare this. He was willing to destroy his son. But he trusted, even through that time, he trusted that God would provide.
We don't have to have all the Bible knowledge in the world to show our faith.
That's so good point. Such a good point. We don't have to. No, you don't. Very good. I want to clarify that James isn't saying that we are saved by works. But what he's saying is that we're not truly showing evidence of our salvation without them. Real faith leaves footprints. It moves, it acts, it loves, it gives, and it sacrifices. And a life of action does not replace faith, it proves it. You don't get to heaven by your works. But if you're going to heaven, your works will follow you like a shadow in the sun. So I challenge you tonight to, and this week, to take an inventory as we get prepared to get into James chapter 3. If we thought tonight was tough, it gets tougher, y'all. It just keeps a growing, all right? So hang in there with us. When you take inventory this week, think about where are you this week? Were you all words and no works? Who around you is hungry physically and spiritually? Who around you is hurting? Who around you is in need? And do you have the means to help? So again, take that inventory. This week, were you all words and no action? Or are you meeting the needs of those around you and serving those around you? Don't just say you have faith. Show it. Live it. Okay? And tonight, you get out early a little bit. Can I get like a hand clap of praise or something for that? I mean, come on. I'm usually right up to the dot. Yeah.
God. So they believed in God. So they knew that there was a supreme being.
Thank you, Randy. Anyone else? Yeah.
Resisted his own brother, and he came down hard on everybody else because of his own disbelief for so many years.
Yeah. It's great. Great, Kathy. Anyone else? Yeah.
You're led by the Holy Spirit, and if you do not respond to a need, you always have to regret and repent and ask forgiveness. But if you do respond, the Holy Spirit gives you peace and joy. You get such a blessing. So, you know, if you can pause a minute and just pray and ask the Holy Spirit what they would have you to do, and you follow that, you always come out with a blessing.
Absolutely. Anyone else?
We have to remember that when we stand before the Lord on Judgment Day, we're not going to be judged whether we're good or bad sinners or not. We are saved, period. But he's going to say, remember that day you saw that man on the street that didn't look like he ate in a month and you had a bag of McDonald's next to you? You could have easily given it to him. Why didn't you do that?
Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? Thank y'all for participating. Thank y'all very much. Anyone else? No, I tell you what, just let's stand tonight, and let's just join together in prayer. This altar is, of course, open if anyone needs any special prayer. You're welcome to come and pray. God, we come to you. We thank you and we praise you. Lord, thank you for showing us in your word the importance of aligning with you, with our faith, and our obedience coupled together. God, that's what I'm asking for each one of our folks represented here and those that are not even here tonight. Is that a fake? We have a faith that works here at Tennessee Avenue. Lord, that we are, as your word says, perfect, made perfect. That we mature in you, that our faith becomes fully vested in what you would have us be. God, help us live that transformed life in front of those that are that don't know you. And Lord, even our brothers and sisters, as we interact, Lord, may we live that transformed life so that we are uplifting our brothers and sisters and not tearing them down. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for these things in your holy name. Amen. All right, guys, I will see you back Sunday morning.